Hey everyone, welcome back to the CSF As You Go podcast. Today we are concluding our final episode in our Advent series as we've been walking through like these different words: hope, peace, joy, and today we're going through the word love, but specifically agape love, which we'll find more about in today's episode. But we have enjoyed putting this series together for you. It's something that I think helps us create a framework around this Christmas season to maybe drop some of like the things that we tend to as like culture in general take up during this time of like being busy and making sure we hit timelines and due dates and all that, and just to take time to focus on like why we celebrate Christmas, and that's Jesus and what he did for us. And so today we end our series of talks on Advent, which is like the time of awaiting the arrival when we celebrate Christmas, and also just like an exciting thing that we continue to do even past this as we await the arrival of Jesus once again when he comes back to restore all things. And so this is my conversation with Adam and Hannah about agape love. Well, hey, Adam and Hannah, we are back to end our series through Advent. And so, yeah, there we go. And so just a quick recap of what Advent is like a season of waiting. And we talked about the first week of hope and how like it pairs really well with Advent, as both are kind of like a waiting spot. So like Advent specifically is like, in the Christmas season, is awaiting the arrival of the day when we celebrate Christ's birth. And we also dove in deeper even for like awaiting Christ's return when he restores all things. And so with this, we've so far gone through hope, we've gone through peace, we've gone through joy last week. And so this week we are ending with the topic of love. And some of these questions might not specifically be targeted at Christmas, but I think like, regardless, it has a filter of Christmas because it's all about Jesus's love, and we get to experience Jesus's love because he came for us during Christmas time. And so just as like an introduction question, and talking about Advent, what are things that you've done to celebrate Advent season so far?
Well, we look at each other. We have been confession a little bit, the fairly sporadic with our like readings. If you happen to listen to the maybe a few weeks ago, us talking about this, that's something I would try to do. We try to do as a family, and it's been like every other day or 3 days kind of thing. But that has been, you know, just focusing on with scripture with the kids and as a family. But we do, like, I don't know if event's the right kind of thing, but we try to do something special to celebrate like every day. And that could be something as small as you know, the kids wrapping presents for each other was one of the nights, or something like here at CSF doing like cookies at the Caldwell's or the Christmas party, or you know, going to like a Christmas Eve service eventually, you know, those kind of things. So that's been a pretty cool thing to just kind of come together as a family, remember, celebrate. And that's been pretty consistent for us. So, yeah.
Cool. Well, there's been no consistency for us. And really not like structured, like, I don't know. I feel like I just like think about things more than I like really do things. If that makes sense. And so I'm not really like one to have like a schedule of like, okay, it's like this week, it's like this day of this week, okay, I'm gonna do this certain thing. Like, it's like, I think our, like, we're probably a lot more sporadic too. But Salem, my son, he does have like a little nativity scene, and like he has like two that are just like toys. And so he'll go, "This is a horsey." I'm like, I was like, "Yeah, that's a donkey." And he's like, "And this is a baby." I'm like, "Yeah, do you know who that is?" And so like, I think it's like right now, just with his age, it's a lot more like teaching like what Christmas is and like what this scene is. And it also like helps me with like, I don't know, like you learn more about childlike faith whenever you're like around a child and like seeing his amazement of like, oh, baby Jesus. So I'm like, I was like, that is amazing, isn't it? Like, so I don't know. It really hasn't been structured. So that's that's my reason for hesitation and staring.
Well, I have been enjoying our Advent Hope CSF devotional. In the show notes. We got a felt Advent calendar for Isaiah that sometimes we might do 2 or 3 days at a time. But that's kind of cool to let him kind of get hands on a little bit with it and tell him. And we switched it up this year. Usually it's like you end with Jesus on like day 24. And like if you do that, especially on this calendar, it's like, oh, well, all the kings are there and they showed up probably like traditionally. They even think like potentially like 2 years after he was there. So it's like so we switched it up a little bit and Jesus is like halfway through, which I think will be kind of fun because it's like experiencing the actual story throughout the full 24 days versus making weird roundabouts for
you leave a review on like, the products like this is not historically accurate.
Exactly. It's been good, and I think like even just the fun little celebrations we do speak about like Christmas and what it is, and so doing things like family Christmases, it's like almost every weekend we're doing something, and like it's a celebrating time, and I think that speaks to like actually celebrating Christ's birth, and so that's what we've been doing. I was trying to think, we don't have very many crazy things of, you know, I don't know, nothing too crazy, but I think just some things to get us in the right mindset of why we celebrate Christmas and all of that. So we're talking about love, and in scripture, there are 4 common words for love that we see, and there might be a few more, but these 4 especially are pretty more common. So there's like eros, which is like romantic love, philadelphia, which is like brotherly love, storge.
Philadelphia?
Yeah.
Philadelphia?
Yeah, Philly. Like,
it says Philadelphia?
Well, it's like Philly, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. But like Philadelphia is like what people... City of brotherly love. Yeah. City of brotherly love. Yeah.
I looked at him and I was like...
Yeah, it's like Phileo is how you actually say it, but brotherly love. And then correct me if I'm wrong in how to say it, but it's like storge or storge is familial love. So like your family love. And so great words for love. Today we're focusing though on the last one because it speaks deeply into God's love throughout scripture. And so agape. And so I took this from a website called Bible Connection because I just love how they laid it out pretty well. Agape love is unconditional preferential love that is chosen and acted out by the will of God. It is not love based on the goodness of the beloved or upon natural affinity or emotion. Rather, this is benevolent love that always seeks the good of the beloved. So at the core of it, agape love is a love that is unconditional that you choose to extend to someone else. And so, in the biblical narrative, how do we see this theme of agape love that God extends over his creation?
You know, it's interesting because I remember a time on probably within the last like 10 years, and I've been like Christian / growing up in church for like all of my life. And so even like a somewhat recent like light bulb of like, I think I've confused like God's love with actually being conditional. And like, I've thought that because I'm like, But I think I was actually confusing that with, like, his promises, like, you know, making, like, those covenants with, like, Abraham or Noah or whoever, and, like if you want to be with me, like, here's the deal, like, you can't be unclean, like, XYZ, whatever it is, mm-hmm. like, you can't have other gods. And so I think I always confused that with, like, love rather than, like, promises, if that makes sense. I'm not, like, wording this well, but, like with our small groups that, like personal small groups that we're doing with, like, our local church, is, like, I don't know, thinking of, like, God's love, he's always, like, not making deals, but, like, okay, you want this? Okay, you want judges and not, like, this good thing that I've already given you? Okay, I can make this work. Mm-hmm. like still, like, taking into consideration, like, what his people are saying. And I don't know, I find that, like, really caring and loving. I don't know, I'm not wording this very well, but, like, time and time again, like, over and over and over and over and over and over again, like, there is still love. And because of that love, God's like, okay, I hear you, still love you, and I'm willing to make this work for you. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I think I've seen that in, like, our, like, small group that's, like, going through the Old Testament currently. And so, I don't know. That's how I've seen it, like, recently. Like, where to start? It's a hard question.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of that, like, God leaving people to their devices, even if that's not the greatest choice. Mm-hmm. He doesn't, like, force himself on people. So,
mm-hmm.
Kind of the same, maybe the same realm for me is something that's been really prominent, I guess, in my readings. I'm going through the prophets in my readings right now. We just taught on the prophets, a few of the prophets, and we see it in the New Testament too. But there's, like, words like nevertheless, or
mm-hmm.
you know, we have, like, New Testament phrases like "but God," you know, kind of thing, and they're always this, like, hinge point of there's kind of, like, judgment and wrath and things happening here, and there's consequences to sin and, like, rebellion against God. But then there's always this, like, turning point of "but I still am going to love you,"
mm-hmm.
"but I'm still going to leave a remnant," "but I'm going to draw you back to me," kind of, you know, thing. And
I
may be repeating from even the last time we talked, but, like, there's, you know, even that stuff of, like, the sin of Adam and Eve, there's, like, consequence that God gives in curse, but there's still this, like, "but I'm gonna, like, provide the offspring to come and crush the serpent's head," you know, kind of thing. And so I think we see that, his unconditional love in those moments of, you know, his holiness breaking out, but he still loves his people and wants to see, like, good come and out.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I think, like, in a, I don't know if this is the preferred story that to show it, but, like, when the people go into exile, like, God lets them choose their own evil, and it ends up getting them put into exile. But you see so many times, like, through the prophets, like you said, Adam, of, like, he promises to bring them back. Like, you're still going to come back and you're going to be even better. The fields are going to have the rest and they're going to be ready for what's to come. And I feel like if God was done with his people, he would just let them die off with, like, the Babylonians or wherever else they might have gotten sent off to. And so, like, God brought him back to be better than ever. And like, I think that's, like, a cool, like, all right, you guys are done. You know, it could have been that thing, but he brought him back. And then obviously Jesus, like, that was such an agape aspect of God, to send his son for us. And so, I think, just all throughout scripture, it's cool that we see this of God choosing his people over and over again, when it's like,
mm-hmm.
why are you still trusting this person?
Yeah.
And then it's a mirror to us as well of why is he still choosing us?
Yeah.
It's true. Our minds, like, it does not make sense. Will not make sense. Like,
yeah. Yeah. So that's the beautiful aspect of his agape love, is he still extends it over us to this day. So in Mark 12, you're good. Mark 12, 29 to 31, we read Jesus answered the like religious teachers. They were asking him like what the like, you know, greatest and most famous law was, and Jesus answers them and says, the foremost is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And so we love God and love others. And maybe I want to talk about like, how are these separate, but also how are they the same?
These are good questions, man. They're like hard but simple.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Thank you.
Things to
think
yeah.
about. What do you think?
What do I think? Oh man, put me on the hot seat.
Yeah, how's it feel?
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So I would say how they are separate is like loving God. He's like, in a way, if you think of like father versus like your siblings, usually it's like you love God, you're willing to submit more mm-hmm. so to his authority over you. You know, even if you don't always, maybe not always like the thing, I'm not yeah. trying to like be like a rule thing, because yeah. it's more relational than that. But like, obviously as good parents, you make sure your mm-hmm. your kids have good boundaries to help them succeed. And so like that, I think that's what God does to us. And so learning to submit to like his will and authority. But loving others, I think is a little different in how, which I think it relates to the same and to some degree, but like mm-hmm. you're willing to come be with them and mm-hmm. support them with like when they have burdens, or like, you know, they have a child, being willing mm-hmm. to like take them a meal or something like that, just looking for the needs of those that you're around and mm-hmm. and loving them where they're at. And I think in turn, like, that's how we love God too. That's how like they're the same going into that aspect. We mm-hmm. often love others because of how we're loved, mm-hmm. like, you know, we love because God first loved us. And so I think that kind of extends out the way we love others is mm-hmm. through how we love God and how God loves us, if that makes yeah. sense.
That does make sense. And so whenever I like hear this question, I think of like a Venn diagram, and like in the middle, like, so whenever Jesus like comes back after like being crucified and like raises up, and then he's coming and he's like talking to Peter, which is like one of my favorite like conversations. And mm-hmm. he's like, if you love me, like feed my sheep,
yeah.
you know, if you love me, feed my sheep, yeah. if you love me, feed my sheep. And Peter's like getting so fed up. He's like, yes, Jesus, I got it. I get the assignment. I'm sorry. Sorry to that. But, and so I do think of that, like, if you love me, then love my people, you yeah. know, and like whenever you, this might be getting into like a different question, but like thinking of like whenever you see another person, and this is a discipline for me, I'll be honest, whenever you see another person, like we've heard it at conferences before, like, but like you're looking into the face of God to some degree mm-hmm. because mankind is made in his image. And so that hurts and it's hard whenever you're like hating a person, and it's like yeah. oh, I'm hating God. But it goes the other way too, like, thank God. You yeah. know that, like, whenever you're loving another person, like just what you said, like, you are loving God and you're loving his creation, and like to know that, like, that makes God like smile.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Like, it's humbling and exciting. and makes me like a little jittery.
Let's go do it some more.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
May have hit it all. I was thinking, I'm looking back at, you know, your like agape definition, you know, and chosen, and it says, seeking the good of the beloved. It's a benevolent love that always seeks the good of the beloved. And so, you know, those things I think connect. Like C.S. Lewis wrote a book called The Four Loves that like hits on those things. And it's really a good read. It's worthwhile.
We'll put it in the show notes.
Anybody listening out there too.
Plug.
Yeah. If you're at CSF and listening to this, I have it in my bookshelf. You can borrow it. And like a few things he says, you know, in that, he says things like Christian love, either towards God or towards man, is an affair of the will. He says, love in the Christian sense does not mean an emotion. It's a state, not of feelings, but of the will. That state of the will, which we have naturally about ourselves and must learn to have about other people. And so, like, I think that, you know, to connect the two, and we talk about this with, like, something, all three of us are married, and have spouses, and, like, a thing you learn very quickly is that you don't wake up every day with the warm fuzzies. Like there are times, you know, when it's like where it is, where it's a matter of the will, you know, and that doesn't mean that like the loves went away or anything. I think we need to know that, but there is like commitment and we're going to stick to this, even though we may not be happy with each other in the moment, you know, kind of thing. And that love's deeper than like the emotion kind of thing. And so it's a will situation in that too. And so I think, you know, the connecting point is, you know, am I going to like choose this out of a deeper place of like, that's that deeper love of like, I'm not feeling it, but I want to feel it kind of thing. But like, I think you two hit the difference like really well of even like our enabling or our being enabled is that like God loves us. That connection we have, I do think, allows us to, if nothing, at the least see like the example of He loved us first in spite of our sin and brokenness and in spite of like being hostile in our minds and like all those things like. He loves us, and maybe we can do that as well, you know, to other people. So that's kind of what I see in that.
Yeah, that's cool. That's awesome. So to combine a few questions, because I want to just be mindful of time a little bit. The Hebrew Bible, which is Old Testament, we commonly reference it as the Hebrew Bible around here. It records the history of the ancient Israelites as they struggle to follow the commandment to love God and others. And so Jesus models agape love for us. And in thinking of both of these things, like Israelites struggling to follow the commandment to love God and others, but Jesus being like that perfect example for us, if Israel had this difficulty, how can we as God's disciples maybe learn from their history and learn from their past mistakes? And how can we hope to maybe do better and display agape love? Maybe better, or just even learn from that to love others in general.
Yeah, I think you guys kind of like touched on it a little, but first of all, I always feel bad for like dogging on the Israelites because I'm like, me too.
Yeah.
I would be the exact same. Exactly. It's easier for me to like talk crap about you now, like thousands of years later. But this is just like a point of curiosity too, but I'm like, they didn't have like stories of Jesus that they could refer back to, and they couldn't like Google like how to love my neighbor or whatever. You know, it's like a really like dumbed down version. But like sometimes we need that, I don't know. But also like they had presence of God, you know? And so this is not an answer at all, but like I guess what I'm saying is, like, I'm thankful for, like, stories of Jesus of, like, I'm always humbled and, like, convicted and encouraged whenever I read stories of Jesus of, like, he's telling them some really hard things. Like, Jesus says, like, this is a hard teaching.
Yeah.
And then...
He does.
But yeah. He always does it in love. Like, he's always gentle, but, like, with a force, mm-hmm. you know? And so... I don't know. I guess my answer to this is, like, I'm thankful that I have stories of Jesus to look back to.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that is the answer of, like, learning from the past. And, like, it's that thing of I learned in my household what was good to do and not good to do a lot of times because of my brother. Yeah. So.
The burden and like awesomeness of being the youngest.
Yeah, exactly. You learn. So I think that is an answer. Being thankful, we have these stories of past mistakes so that we can learn to love better. We could use it to help us learn.
Yeah, for sure. I want to roll back on one thing I said mm-hmm. and like point to. I do think it's kind of loving as a matter of the will, like what Lewis is talking about, what your mm-hmm. like definition. But our will is only going to take us so far mm-hmm. to, like, it's not, that I think yeah. that's an important,
mm-hmm.
day by day, like, it's like, I'm going to make this decision, really, minute by minute, it's conversation by conversation,
yeah.
God help me, mm-hmm. you know, but
yeah.
That's part of it, but we're also going to fail,
mm-hmm.
but we will, I believe we will fail at points in our will bringing us, and so, grace, you know, is like a exactly. matter of that. And I think that's kind of rolling back to the but God, but nevertheless, you know, those mm-hmm. kind of things are really moments of God's grace and being able to rest in that, because the fact is that we are going mm-hmm. to be like the Israelites. We're going to be like, mm-hmm. you know, our great cloud of witnesses did a lot of awesome faith things. They also
yep.
did a lot of like screw ups. So,
mm-hmm.
And God's grace shows through that.
Exactly.
You know, look into the Christmas stuff. It's like the people that walk in darkness have seen a great light, and I, you know, mm-hmm. pointing to Jesus. There's a talk about like he has come to fulfill the law,
mm-hmm.
and I think there's aspects of like the crucifixion, the resurrection, that like that's part of. But there also is just the matter of like he lived
mm-hmm.
a life and as an example and showed us like this is what it looks like to fulfill the law, to do the law, you know, kind of thing. And so we do have this example, like Hannah
yeah.
said, like we have the opportunity to look in hindsight through the lens of Jesus at these things where, like you said,
mm-hmm.
you know, the Israelites, they have God, they have the presence, they have, you know, these like examples of like what's going on in the temple and through the priesthood and all these things. But we do have that lens, so we should pay attention to it and
mm-hmm.
see how, you know, he's on the cross asking for forgiveness and loving
mm-hmm.
the people around him.
So in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks about one of the, like the ultimate standard of authentic love is how you treat the person you can't stand, your enemy. And in that talk, like he talks about how it's like, if you love like your brother who also follows God, like good for you,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, even the human demons, spiritual beings who've fallen believe in God and do all that. But like, it's different when we love our enemies
mm-hmm.
because it's these people we don't like, these people who oftentimes may be ungrateful or dishonest or violent. And God shows kindness
mm-hmm.
to these people often. And so what does this say about God's character and his willingness to agape love others? And maybe how can we, getting deeper, like how can we express that same love to maybe people who might be our enemy?
So I'm like, I want to pretend like I don't have any enemies. Like sometimes they are the people that are closest to me and
mm-hmm.
sometimes they are complete strangers that I know very little about. And I think so much just comes, I mean, everything goes back to the cross, and it's like I am no different than they are. Like, if I am basing my entire life and entire soul on the fact that Jesus died for me and my sin, and I'm not willing to extend that to another person, like, I'm cheapening the cross, and that's not cool. You know, like, I'm cheapening the value of another person, expecting that all these wonderful good things about God and the scripture and, like, Jesus's life and, like, whole mission. Like, really, Hannah, you think that only applies to you? Like, get real. Like, get off your high horse. You know? And so I think, like, I don't know, like talking about this will thing is, like, hard, because I feel like sometimes I feel like it's just hard to have, like, that integrity of, like I wouldn't go up to someone and punch them in the face because I hated them. But I'm going to be nice to your face, but in my heart, I might be having different feelings. And so I think the prayer for me is, like, I need these two things to match up. Like, there is a thing of, like, setting boundaries, and it's like, if I need to flee from the temptation of, like, hating a person, maybe I need to limit my time around them for now until I figure out a way, and until I'm healthy enough to, like, be around this person. I don't know. I'm not saying that's right, but that is, like, I've had to do that before in my life, and that's what works for me. It's like, sometimes I just need some distance to, like, sometimes just come to terms with my sin, even of, like, I'm hating this person. Okay, I need to take a step away and, like, really figure myself out and, like, dwell on the cross and forgiveness and love, right? And so,
yeah.
I don't know. These are hard questions. Man. This is, like, almost, like, mean.
Very good questions. I mean, I don't want to, like, beat a dead horse with that idea with, like, God's love, you know, I'd be mindful of the time. But the there's a parable Jesus is telling, and it's talking about, like, two guys who owed different, it's like, one, I don't know the exact sums, it's like a guy owed somebody $100 and a guy owed somebody $100,000, you know, and that may be little and big, you know, and both of those things get wiped out, and his, you know, question is, like, which one is going to love the person who forgave them more? Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, it's the one who, you know, got $100,000 of student debt wiped out, you know, kind of thing. And,
for sure.
Versus the hundred, or, like, the unmerciful servant parable where, you know, the guy begs for forgiveness and it's given, but then goes out and, you know, beat somebody up over $10 and then gets called back in. It's like, no, you're going, you're like, there's going to be judgment now. Like, if that's the thing, it was this call to forgive as we have been forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I mentioned that one earlier, it's the Colossians one, just to actually quote it, Colossians 1:21, once you were alienated, and hostile in your minds because of your evil actions, but now he has reconciled you by his physical body through his death to present you holy, faultless, and blameless before him. You know, it was that but now kind of situation. So we're, like, seeing that over and over and over of God's great love for us. And I think, like what you said, Hannah, like the remembering, you know, it's hard, but, like, remembering, like, I've been a Yahoo. And I've said, I've been forgiven much, and, like, maybe I can have some generosity of, like, forgiveness in those places, too. But it's constant. Like,
I tell people often that, like, you know, especially on one-on-ones or, like, talking with girls or whoever, it's, like, loving people is the hardest thing I've ever done. And it hurts, and it's time. But it's so good. It's like such a glimpse.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't have my reference here, unfortunately. unfortunately. So maybe that's the thing I'll have to get for your show notes. But there's moments where forgiveness is talked about, and it's not a, like, which I know that's just one aspect of loving mm-hmm. people, but it's not like, oh, I forgive Ben for beating me in fantasy football. Like, it's done, you know, kind of thing. And then now it's over, but mm-hmm. it's like, man, every time I see Ben, I just think about how he, like, burned me, you know? So, like, it's continuous. It's mm-hmm. like, I'm going to forgive him in this moment. And the next time I see him, I'm going to also forgive him again mm-hmm. because this is, like, love to do that. Mm-hmm. So I'll figure out what that is. But I think that's it's constant, it's over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. It's in the moment, not just one and done with one of people.
Walk up to someone, I'm still forgiving you.
Yeah, I'm still forgiving you.
Maybe don't say that to them.
I mean, depending on what it was, it might be a good reminder of that. So, not today, man. I'm still working on it. I think the only thing I want to add, and it's not even like explaining, I think the thing that I love to think about is like, like people who could be like true enemies of, like, you know, whatever it is, whether it's a parent who has burned you, or a friend that has stabbed you in the back, or whatever, you like insert your situation mm-hmm. or enemy, whatever, like that there can be an aspect of reconciliation. And like mm-hmm. we all read it in Between Two Trees by mm-hmm. Shane Wood, how he talks about, like, it's a really good book, and I don't necessarily feel bad for talking about it, because mm-hmm. like he puts it in the book for a reason. Like he deals with, like, you know, talks about his story of being sexually abused and mm-hmm. working through these aspects of like a lot of counseling, but also getting to the point where he looks forward to the day when he's sitting under a tree with this guy and can mm-hmm. actually enjoy the conversations they're having, because there's that aspect of forgiveness and grace and love mm-hmm. there. And I think we can't have that unless we have love, and a love mm-hmm. that comes from God.
That's good.
So, final question, as we finish out love, but also our series through Advent, what wisdom can be found in agape love in the Christmas story, and how can it challenge us this week as we go through our respective, like, Christmas celebrations?
I don't know. They're just good questions, man. Jeez.
Good. Yeah. I'm glad.
I feel like we talked about Jesus a lot.
Oh, man. That Jesus guy.
That Jesus. But, like, I don't know. I just think of, like, you know, that theme of, like, waiting still, and, like, the anticipation. And, again, this is, like, such a non-answer, but, like, I don't know, like, God choosing to send his only son in such a way that was, like, unexpected and not, I don't know, just unexpected. And I just had something. I completely forgot it. It's out of my brain now. Anyways, Adam, do you have anything? That was, like, the worst answer.
It was amazing.
Your thoughts, Ben.
It's a really existential answer.
Yeah.
It's got me thinking. No,
I'm like, yeah, chew on that.
The question is, how do we see God's love shown in the Christmas story?
Yeah, like what wisdom can be found in it? And like, how can that challenge us going to our different Christmas celebrations? Mm-hmm.
I look at, or am struck, I guess, is the answer, or the actual word, by just, like, who God speaks to in are like Christmas, like the birth, the Advent story.
Yeah.
And I think that there's an aspect of that, like, you know, that agape love that we talked about of, you know, I keep going back to the definition. It's like helping ground me a little bit here, but
mm-hmm.
preferential love is chosen and acted out by the will. It's not based on the goodness of the beloved or upon natural affinity or emotion. It's benevolent love that always seeks the good of the beloved. And I mean, it's like things like Mary, you know, who like seems like mm-hmm. not that she was bad, but it's like there's nothing we don't see, like, oh man, this like is the cream of the crop person.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, like, or you know, even maybe even more direct is like the shepherds who are all mm-hmm. you know, kind of unclean people who have to kind of sit on the margins of society mm-hmm. and are looked down upon, or you know, the wise men who come 2 years later, but like they, you know, they're foreigners who mm-hmm. have this prophecy that's from forever ago mm-hmm. and are still like looking, you know, it's like the least likely people, you know, you would expect. And there's probably other things in that, but like Mary, I mean, just like Mary and Joseph and their story, they're, you know, they can't find room for them. Maybe they're unwelcome in their hometown. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, what's going on there? But all these people who are part of that, it's like not who the normal person maybe would choose for their story of, you know, mm-hmm. their hero, you know, like in the origin exactly. story kind of thing of like
except they don't get shot up with like steroids or something crazy that makes them
they, you know, it's kind of the least likely. I think there's like an aspect, I know there's an aspect of like God's love showing mm-hmm. through that. And
yeah,
you know, I think that's a good reminder for us too of like who we love and how who we pay attention to.
Mm.
You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's good.
I remembered my thought.
Okay.
Salem like just turned 3, and so he was born like close to Christmas season. I remember that first Christmas with him. He's like not even a month old, like 3 weeks old, and I remember thinking like, love is so much more confusing to me, but I understand it so much more. And I'm like holding my one and only son like on Christmas, and I'm like, man, God, you gave this up for me. You know? And it's, I don't know, that's that's what I was thinking earlier and forgot about. My son.
That's great. Yeah No, I think that's cool. I think that aspect of just remembering like God's love coming for the ordinary mm-hmm. and like just to sum it up, God's love coming for the ordinary mm-hmm. as an ordinary and coming to change the world forever. And that brings new life, that brings restoration, that brings redemption mm-hmm. from whatever. And like, something I'm learning as a parent is that I think is like how God's love for us is like, you know, Isaiah may do something that frustrates or annoys mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. needs discipline of some sort, but then like 30 seconds later we're doing something fun and having fun again mm-hmm. and like when that hit with me of like, that's how God sees us. Mm. Like that really helped change a little bit of my mindset of like God's love, like being excited to
mm-hmm.
to walk with him. And I think like God being the same way of like being excited to walk with us. And so why else would he choose to do all these things for us mm-hmm. if he wasn't excited to be with us? And so, I think that's something that helps shift with at least for me of like thinking of our Christmas celebrations and like all the Christmas festivities that we do mm-hmm. of just being reminded of Jesus and his love for us and letting that excite you during mm-hmm. during this time.
Mm-hmm.
So cool. Well, thank you both for coming back on again, and this was awesome. Thank you. Yeah, it was great.
My pleasure.
My pleasure.
Man, what a great conversation that I got to have with Adam and Hannah about agape love, and just surface through these different difficult questions of love, and just getting to talk about them and break them apart and see how we can, you know, learn from scripture and learn from Jesus about how he loved the world, and how we in turn can be that love for others around us today. And so like the book that Adam mentioned by C.S. Lewis is going to be in the show notes, so be sure to look at that. I think it's a really good resource, and it's not that long of a read. He had talked about like having it in his bookshelf, and so I had got to take a look at it a little bit, and it's really not that long of a read, and I think it's a pretty good read. And so if you're looking to learn more just about like love in general, how it's used in scripture, like that's a really good resource to check out. But we want to wish you a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, and we are praying for you regardless of where you're at, wherever you're at around the state of Indiana or country or around the world. We are praying for you. We're hoping that God is working through you in this Christmas season to just draw near to him, and as you do that he would draw nearer to you. And so we thank you for taking time to listen today, and we pray that this was a blessing for you, and we can't wait for the new year when we get to do more of these. And we will be taking a break, so that's the thing as well. We're going to take a couple week break, get things kind of as we take a break, but as well as just kind of get some creative things going to make sure that we do this thing right and can provide what we feel like God is leading us in this podcast to help others grow in their faith as they go each week. And so we look forward to seeing you in a little bit, and we're praying for in this time that God blesses you and shines his face upon you.